Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had an opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the pastor here at the White Oak location of Bridge City Church, and I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. I will never stop saying it. There's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. And I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning doing just that. Listen, I keep Rob on retainer, so everywhere I go, I just say, Rob, hey, can you say some nice things? He's never used the word hyperbole in front of me before, so that was a first for me. And Rob is correct. He was here the first time I preached the Word of God on a Sunday morning. It actually was the second time I preached the Word of God, because I preached at our another location first, and then I drove here and preached again. So he saw the second time. The first time I ever preached the Word of God, the gentleman who introduced me preached my entire message while introducing me, and I just had to get up and reiterate everything that he had already said. So that was a blessing. But today we get to kick off a... I think Brett and Janet might have been there for my first time ever at the Murraysville Community Center. And you got that story's true. I told the true story. But we get to kick off a four-part like mini-series over the next few weeks. We are the only location that over the summer we went in order and did every single letter that was written to the seven churches in Revelation. We did them in order. Some of the other locations are playing catch-up, so they're preaching on Philadelphia and Laodicea today, but we get to have 4 weeks of completely, like, standalone messages, and it is my heart that we see a growth in discipleship, and I know what you're thinking right away. I'm checking out, because I don't think I'm a disciple. I just want to be a fan of Jesus. And listen, it is not my goal for us to have a church full of people that just acknowledge Jesus or are a fan of Jesus or are somebody that thinks that their proximity to Jesus defines their followership. No, just because you're around it doesn't mean that you're truly following. And it's my prayer that we grow in all of these areas. And discipleship changed my life. Not big teachings, not big seminars, not big educational environments. Discipleship changed my life, my family, my generations to come of my family. And it was sitting around a table with people. It was having real life, honest conversations with people. So that's what I'm believing for. And today we're going to talk about what it looks like to be gathered in. And obviously you've already been gathered in some way because you're here. You're in the room. So you've already taken one step. But we have a whole bunch of steps after that. And listen, us making sure that we see what those steps are and they're clear for us are very important. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to read to you a verse out of my favorite chapter of the Bible. But let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are and who we get to be. God, I thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that you have planned to do. God, I pray that you would lead us, guide us, protect us, Lord. And God, that you would challenge us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, we live in a culture that is so connected, the most connected culture and generation in history. You know what people had for dinner last night. You know where people went on vacation. You know when people are buying a new house or selling a house. You know when people are selling the junk that's in their garage. You know everything. You have the opportunity to follow thousands of people on social media, hundreds if not thousands of people. You have the opportunity to stay so connected. But in all actuality, we are the most disconnected culture and generations because we forget about relationships. We allow for the world to lie to us and say, just because we know what people did on social media, or we know where they went on vacation, or we know what they're struggling with, we're in relationship with those people. But it's so far from the truth. Relationship is eye to eye. Relationship is face to face. Relationship is if I call, you answer. That's what relationship is. Relationship isn't a text every once in a while. Relationship is, it's messy at times. But Jesus invited us into relationship. You weren't meant to follow Jesus alone. You were called to follow him in relationship with others. Let's go to Matthew 4, verse 19. Jesus called out to them. Who's them? Who's them? All of us, right? He called out to a specific group of people in this text, but he's still calling us today. And what did he say? He said, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. Listen, the first invite was, hey, why don't you all come together with me and let's do something? Not just talk about it, but be about it. That was his first invitation. That's what he said. He didn't call us only, hey, you guys, hey, believe in me. I just need you to believe. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, hey, I really just need you to attend one of the three worship experiences at the White Oak location of Bridge City Church. You pick one, 8 a.m., 9:30, or 11:15. I just want you to attend. No, he didn't say that either. And he also didn't say, hey, whenever you're attending, I just want you to observe. I just want you to watch what's happening. I want you to look from the outside. I don't want you to get too involved. He didn't say that. He said, come and follow me. He called us to follow. Following requires movement. Following Jesus means that we follow Jesus together, not by ourselves. It's interesting. John didn't follow Jesus by himself. Paul didn't follow Jesus by himself. Peter didn't follow Jesus by himself. Bless you. Who sneezed? Bless you. More, Lord. Give them more. Bless them. They didn't follow by themselves. They followed together. Listen, Christianity is personal, but it was never meant to be private. Your time with Jesus is personal. You're supposed to have personal devotion. But you're not called to just be here and just have private devotion and just completely disregard the people that are sitting to the right of you and the left of you, in front of you and behind you. The people in the middle, I want to let you know, there's people over there to your left. They're over there. And the people in the middle, I always pick on the middle. There's people over here. Look at them. I think it's a great group of people. You're called to walk with them, to be with them, to live life with them. And here we go. Every time I preach on something along these lines, I always get typecasted. Oh, he's just going to talk about Acts 2. He's just going to read Acts 2. He just loves Acts 2. I tried my hardest to not put Acts 2 in here, but guess what you're going to get? Acts 2. All the believers. How many believers?
All.
Say it one more time.
All.
Say it like you mean it.
All.
Look at that. All the believers. What did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. They didn't just say, hey, they just acknowledged it. They just attended and heard the apostles' teaching every once in a while. No, there was devotion. They were devoted. Devotion doesn't just happen on accident. You can't tell me there's one thing in your life that you accidentally became devoted to. For years, Rachel would tell me, hey, you need to get a hobby. And now she's like, hey, can we stop with the hobbies? Because I'm an all-in type of guy. If I'm going to do it, I'm going all in. There's a lot of people in this room that know that about me. And it is, what is it? I don't lie, right? I go all in. Because if you're going to do something, do it. And I learned this because of Acts 2. When we devote ourselves to what is being taught and not just hearing it, but doing it, things change. When we devote ourselves to fellowship What does that mean? To being together, to walking together, to living together, not in the same house. We're not trying to create a commune here. We're not. Just I'm being recorded, and I say things and I forget. No, we want to walk together. Life is messy, and sometimes you just need some people to get in the mud with you. You need some people that have been there to help pull you out and to help move you forward and to help you to get free from some stuff. That's what together means. That's what fellowship means. Life change happens around a table. I pray that there's more and more over the next few weeks. Hey, you want to go to lunch? Hey, let's go to lunch. You don't have to pay for everybody you take to lunch. That's one of the lies of the enemy, that people don't go to lunch anymore because you think you got to pay for them. I just asked somebody just now. I said, hey, let me know where you want to take me to lunch this week. I was very honest. And he's going to text me. Chuck's somewhere. Not that Chuck. Not the Chuck. You can text me too, wherever you want to take me to lunch this week. Got a day. But listen, that's where true change happens. It doesn't happen on Sunday mornings. I am a smart enough man to know that you are not being changed and transformed just by the preaching on Sunday mornings. It happens within groups. It happens around tables. It happens in homes. They devoted themselves to God's word, to fellowship, to prayer, to community, discipleship. Discipleship requires intentionality. Okay, write that down. And put an emphasis on discipleship. So why do we gather? Why do we gather in homes? Why do we gather at church on Sundays? Why do we gather around a table for lunch? Why do we gather in connection groups? We gather because we need to know God. We don't gather simply to know more about Jesus. We gather to become more like Jesus. So many times we think that it's all about information. I need more information. I need to grow in information. I need to get more knowledge and absorb all the information. No, that information is pointless if you're not being transformed. If you're not more like Jesus today than you were yesterday, the information is missing you. It's staying in your head and it's not going to your heart. That's the longest 13 inches in the history of the world. From your head to your heart. Is it happening? We don't just gather for information. We gather for transformation. That is the goal. So I can't answer that question for you. Are you being changed and transformed by the word of God, by your prayer life, by your obedience, by your gathering in? Listen, we gather so that we can understand more about who he is and what he's calling us to do. James 1:22. But don't listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Don't just listen. We are a listening culture. We listen to everything. There's podcasts on podcasts on podcasts. And then after you're done with that podcast, there's another podcast. You can listen to all these podcasts. You can read all these books. You can do all these things, but if you don't put it into practice, it doesn't matter. Why else do we gather? We gather to know each other. Acts 2, verse 46, they worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes, and shared their meals. We need large gatherings, and we need small gatherings. It is, connection groups are one of my favorite things about Bridge City Church. I love groups. I love what groups do because groups change and transform me. If somebody said, I can pick between attending on a Sunday morning or attending a connection group, I would say you can listen to the recording of Sunday morning. You can't recreate what happens in a group. I want you to go to a group. I want you to watch the online worship experience. I want you to listen to the recording, but I want you to go to a group because we can't recreate that. And it's a goal of the White Oak location of Bridge City Church that we would have 40 connection groups just at this location, launching in September. That's our goal. I will let you know that I'm very excited to say we have 38 groups this time around at the White Oak location of Bridge City Church. And listen, I know there's at least two more people that have been sitting on the gift of leading a group, and you've been sitting on it, and you're getting ready to be outed. Because you might be the one person that's keeping us from reaching our goal of 40. You don't want to do that. That's so sad. Anyways, groups are important. And notice it says that they met in the temple and in homes. With 38 connection groups, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's technically 7 rooms at our church. That means that 31 groups are kicked out. They're not allowed to meet here. And I'm so excited about it. It's my favorite thing. Why? Because groups should happen in homes. There's something powerful about walking into somebody's home. There's something powerful of knowing that you walked in an acquaintance and you leave knowing you have fridge privileges. You know what fridge privileges are? That means you don't need to ask. You just wonder what's in there. Every neighborhood child in Foster Plan now thinks that they have fridge privileges in my house. It's unbelievable. Rachel didn't grow up in a neighborhood, so she doesn't know what neighborhood life's like. She learned very quickly that you do not put all the Capri Suns in the fridge at the same time. You do not, because they will be the most thirsty children in the world. You got to ration it. You put 6 in at a time. 6 in at a time. They drank a whole entire Costco case of Capri Suns in like a day and a half. The whole neighborhood was littered. Where they had to drive around on their bikes and pick up, not the tin foil, not the straw, the wrapper of the straw. It's like, go get them, gentlemen. They did. They didn't do a great job, but they did it. Do you have fridge privileges in somebody's house? Maybe you haven't fully been gathered yet. Maybe, just maybe. Listen, you can be somebody that attends here and you don't feel like you belong yet. My goal, my passion is for you to go from attending to belonging. Why? Because God wants you to be known by others. He doesn't want you to just be an attender any longer. He wants you to be a follower. He wants you to be known. We gather because we need each other. Just as much as you need someone else, they need you. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let us not neglect our meeting together, but encourage one another. You know, if we are just people that just attend here, we're neglecting everything else that we're called to be when we're gathered together. If you're just an average church attender, which averages like 2 out of every 6 now, that's insane. I don't want to be average. I don't want us to be average. Why do I want you to go from just attending to belonging? Because I know that there's someone in this room that needs your faith. There's someone in your room, this room, that needs your faith. There's somebody in this room that feels weak, but you're strong and you can help them through that. Listen, sometimes I need your faith. Sometimes I do. Sometimes you need mine. That's how it works. That's what church is. I grew up 20 years. 19 to 20 years without Jesus. I'm now very excited to say that I've known Jesus longer than I didn't. But that 19 years made a big impact. I knew what it was like to grow up without the church. I knew what it was like to go to funerals without people knowing Jesus. I knew what it was like to struggle without people around you that were going to encourage you and empower you and equip you and challenge you. And now, as a son of God, not as a pastor, remove that. Just as a son of the King, I don't know how people make it through life without the church, without the kingdom of God, without a family that's going to walk with them and run with them and cry with them and encourage them and celebrate with them. I don't know how they do it. And that's what breaks my heart. That's what makes me and my prayers for us to go out and see people changed and transformed, because I want us to run and run the race well. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, but each one of you is a part of it. 1st off, let me preface this. I went through a long battle with infections and surgeries and all that stuff. I am fine. Did we all hear that? I'm fine. We good? Okay. I had to go see my surgeon this week because I had to have a procedure done because I was playing basketball and somebody stepped on my foot and my foot didn't like it. And anyways, long story short, I'm 6'7", 252 pounds. Okay. My great toe, I like to call it my not-so-great toe. That's the big one. It's like a $1 million toe. This toe has been through a lot, okay, over my 41 years. I know that's such a small portion of my foot. I know that it's hurting. I know that it has a problem. I know that it had to have a surgical procedure. I know that it is in pain. That not so great toe is causing for all 6'7" of me to walk different, to move different, to even think differently. All because of the pain. So here's my question to you. Are you a pain? We're all part of Christ's body, right? We all make up a part of it. So are you a pain? Are you a hindrance? Are you something that's holding back a portion of the body? Because we're all together in this. I don't care if this is your first week or your 1,000th week. We're all a part of Christ's body if we've received what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us and called upon him as Lord. So are you a pain? You can answer that. I can't answer that. As a matter of fact, I will not answer that because some of you don't want to hear my answer. And I'm being recorded. Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Listen, I'm being serious. You need to answer the question. Why? Because we're in this together. And you have something that someone else needs. And if you're allowing for pain to hold you back from that, you're robbing people of something that God placed in you that he wants to draw out, your story. Nobody can have your story. People can debate doctrine, they can debate theology, they can debate your knowledge, they can debate all of that. They cannot debate a change and transform life. And that's a fact. People need your story. They need to know where you've been and where you're going. They need that. Why? Because vulnerability builds other people up. What else do they need? They need your gifts. There are people in this room that you are far more gifted in some areas that I have no idea about that gift mix. I pray every week that the Holy Spirit will fall upon me and I'll get to go into this drum cage and I'll get to play it better than Cheddar ever thought about. Listen, I'm telling you. It's going to happen one week. I got faith. You do not want me up here singing. I can worship the paint off the walls, though. It's a different gifting. Some of us are gifted to be worshipers. Some of us are gifted to lead worship. It's a difference. There are people in this room that listen, we don't want you in with the kids because you don't like kids. But there are gifts in you that someone in this place needs. Are you using them? Your faith may be strong one week. It may be weak another. But people need, you're always one step in front of somebody. Always. You have something to give away. Are you giving it away? There are people in this room that you were born to be an encourager. Born to be an encourager. Are you encouraging people? Are you holding that gift back? Are you sitting on that? Are you being a pain? There are people in this room that just your sheer presence brings joy. How many rooms are you in? Or you just come on Sundays and then you go by yourself for the next 6 days of the week? It's important for us to take growth seriously, because if we don't, we're just gonna stay stagnant. All of us are called to grow. All of us are called to take steps forward on this pathway of discipleship. And listen, this is what it looks like at Bridge City Church. It looks like you start with a connection card. There are people in this room, you've been coming here for 6 months and you still haven't filled out a connection card. You're being a pain. There's things I can say that other people can't. Listen, I'm spending some equity today. I'm spending some pastoral change in my pocket. You're being a pain if you have not filled out a connection card yet. Because here's the thing. You think that a connection card is just a transfer of information. No. It is a communication of, hey, I'm here, and I'm done with just attending, and I want to be a part. That's what a connection card is. It has nothing to do with, I don't want your email. I don't. I don't need another contact in my phone. I looked during the first worship experience. I have 4,672. You think I want another one? I don't. And there's a rule in my phone. If I don't have your first and last name, you don't go in my phone. There's only three people that don't have first and last names, and it's Oach, Obe, and Gogues. And one of them is our state representative, and I refuse to put him in there as State Representative Daniel Gogenauer. It's Gogues. Will always be Gogues. He has another nickname too, but that one's not in the phone. Okay? That's what a connection card is. It's you saying, hey, I'm here and I want to be a part. Next up, starting point. Starting point is literally what it's in the name. It's where you start. It's 12 minutes of you getting to hear what some information about the church. And we get to hear some information about you and how we can move together. And you get a cookie. Rob's going to tell you about the cookie in a little bit. After starting point, what happens? We want you to take a next step. Next steps happens the first and second Sunday of every single month at Bridge City Church. Next steps is not 12 minutes. It's an hour. Because there's things that we want to now communicate to you so that you can start to make a difference. Next steps is you discovering your gifts and finding how you can use those gifts to make a difference within your church. And then what do we want to see? We want to see you go to a purple book group. What is a purple book group? I don't even like purple. This is a group where people are going to be honest with themselves and maybe new believers or maybe people that have believed in Jesus for years but have no idea how to communicate what they believe. The Purple Book group is to help you take a step forward in confidence of knowing who you are and who Christ is. And after the Purple Book group, guess what we want you to do? We want you to go to Victory and Freedom. Rob's going to share that the ladies group, Victory and Freedom, is already filled. We knew it was going to be. Why? Because ladies know that they're messed up and they need fixed. There's still room in the men's one because guys know that they're messed up, but they don't want anybody else to know about it. I said both of us were messed up. You're focusing on the ladies one. We're all messed up. Ladies are just good at admitting it. Guys aren't. We want you to go to Victory and Freedom. Why? So you can get free, so you can experience victory, because there are people that are walking around you in your world that have no idea what victory or freedom looks like, and they're going to see it in you. Remember I said your presence just changes things? Listen, your actions and your presence and the way you conduct and carry your life will preach louder than any Bible verse that you share with somebody, a giant eagle. Anyone? Then after Victory and Freedom, what do we want you to do? We want you to go to a freedom group, because Victory and Freedom is what, 12 hours long? 12? You want 13? 12 easy hours. 12 hours. There are things of Victory and Freedom that we can't communicate in 12 hours. So we want you to be a part of a freedom group for 12 weeks. Then after the freedom group, guess what you are? You are officially a fisher of men. You're officially a leader at that point. You're getting put into a pipeline that you're going straight to Jesus. This is a conduit. Connects two points and gets you there safely. Listen, every follower of Jesus has a next step. You get to decide what yours is. Which one's yours? And I don't want you to confuse proximity to Jesus with following Jesus. Don't get stuck in that lie. We're getting ready to welcome up our Buffalo Dream Center missions team. I'm going to call them a missions team. It wasn't even a missions trip. They went on Thursday. There was 23 people that went on Thursday for a one day. Ashlyn was pretty much a resident of Buffalo for the last 7+ weeks. We're going to invite them up. We're going to get to hear from them. And listen, just because your church does missions doesn't mean you're a part of missions. Just because your church does something doesn't mean you're a part of it. You get to make a choice whether or not you're a part of it or not. Rob shared about Kingdom Builders. We didn't just have a goal of 15,000 for the Roar School in Pakistan. We're sending 15,000 to the Roar School in Pakistan. That was before we even told you about that. We decided that. That was decided. That wasn't a goal. That was what we're going to do. And now hundreds of people get to decide whether or not they're going to be a part of it. But we're sending 15,000 regardless. Don't confuse proximity to following. Following requires movement. So what does the journey of a disciple look like at Bridge City Church? Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to unpack this. But you gather, you grow, you give, and you go. That's literally what the discipleship journey looks like. We gather. How do we gather? We've talked about it this whole time in groups and in a church on Sunday. We gather in coffee shop. We gather everywhere, because once you've been gathered in, you move. How do you grow? We touched on that a little bit today. Victory and Freedom. Freedom groups, the Purple Book. What do you give? Your time, your talent, your treasure. We're going to talk about that. And where do you go? You go out into that world to make more disciples. All for the glory of God. Amen. That's the journey of a disciple at Bridge City Church. So listen, I have three questions for you, and you need to answer these questions openly and honestly for yourself. Are you gathered in? Are you gathered in, or do you just have like a 5-week ticket package? You get to use those tickets whenever you want. Are you gathered? Do people know you? It's far beyond the point where I can be everybody's best friend and I know everybody. And that pains me to say that. But you're going to be known in a group and on a team. That's where you're going to be known. That's where you experience family. I can't answer whether or not you're gathered in. I know that you're gathered in some way because you're here. But are you fully gathered in? Are you known? Or are you still buying into the lie that the enemy has placed within the minds of the people of the church? No one knows you. Why do you even go there? I learned at a very young age that I needed to be the one to introduce myself to people, because I stuck out like a sore thumb. When you're 6 feet tall in fifth grade and people think you're the principal, you got to introduce yourself. You got to grow up a little bit. So I introduce myself to everybody. Why? Because I already know they're looking at me. I'm weird. Are you buying into the lie that no one knows you, or are you being a pain and not introducing yourself to people? It's your question. How can I get to know you when you run out of here like it's the plague? What's your next step? Maybe you need to go to Starting Point and fill out a connection card. Maybe you need to go to the connection point and sign up. I want to be a part of Next Steps. Maybe when groups go live, you jump in and sign into a Purple Book group right away. Maybe whenever Victory and Freedom comes around, you don't make me stand on this stage and beg you to go. Maybe that's your next step. Stop being a pain. I'm saying that in the most loving way possible. I really am. But I communicate the way that I get communicated. I hear this. I'm hearing this. I'm talking to myself too. I want you to know that Jesus is still saying, come and follow me. Don't just attend. Belong. Be a part of something. Here's the first step of belonging. You need to be real with yourself and be honest before God and answer the question, do you have a day, a time, a place where you've repented of your past, accepted what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, and called upon him as Lord and leader into your future? Because if you don't have that day, or you're unsure of that time, or you're unsure if you've ever made that decision, you're not promised later this afternoon. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised Tuesday. The only thing that each and every one of us is promised is that we will stand before him one day. And I want to make sure that you're not somebody that heard, here's, you didn't even know me. I want you to be someone that hears, well done, good and faithful servant. Your seat at the table has been prepared. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place, remember, this is not a private thing. This is a public thing because you belong here. I want you to slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have that day. I don't have that time. I've never prayed that prayer that somebody's going to lead me through. But I know I need you. Anyone at all today? Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to out somebody in the room right now. Anybody else? Anyone else?